Hello, it's Monday, February 27th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris, and this is show number 45. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcasts, feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you would like to send us an email, please do so. videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. With us today, we have a skeleton crew again. We have Keith.
Greetings.
And we have Phil.
Hello.
Bob is busy with school and work tonight. Tom will be in. MC Frags-a-Lot has his special MC Frags-a-Lot polls each week. And this week we are talking about, who knows, we're flying from the cuff, shooting from the hip. We have at least today, we have new at Dream Station, we have a Fight Night Round 3 review for the Xbox 360, we have a Random News Flurry, we have a Land of Legends review for the PC, we have Factor Crap, we have our forum question, and we have our mailbag.
You putting in that interview tonight?
Yeah, we may also have an interview. I have done two interviews. I did one with PJ and one with Scott Lance. I'm going to see if I can get PJ's interview edited and stuffed into this show this week. If not, I'm sorry, and it will be forthcoming.
Next topic.
Last week's show was a little bit short. This week's show may be a little bit short. It's been a very, very more so than usual, really, really slow news week. And quite frankly, I have some real life stuff. Birthday season is upon us. So my goal for the next maybe 2 weeks here is we're going to have shows. They may be a little bit on the short side. I am not quitting podcasting. We're still here. We're still around because we're trying to break the 5,000 listener barrier. We've been doing this for what? This is show 45, so probably around almost a year now. We do this because we like it. We do it because it's a hobby. We record for about an hour, and then I spend an additional 5 or 6 hours editing the show. And I need a break. I need to cut back a little bit, so.
Next topic.
New at DreamStation.cc, we have a review for the PS2 of Wild Arms 4.
Those games are supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, I know very little about it.
It got an 8.
Okay, 8 out of 10, 80%, that's a B, that's pretty good.
New battle system, breath of fresh air for the genre. I haven't played any of the other ones.
So is a fart is a breath of fresh air if you're trapped in a closet for years and years.
No,
right?
I still don't think this is that's fresh.
Next topic.
We're going to do a Xbox 360 review of Fight Night Round 3.
I didn't get to see the character creation at all, but it looked pretty.
That's the first thing that wows you, is that the graphics are actually really cool. You got your boxers. You kind of got maybe a waist up or a thigh up view. One dude's on the left, one dude's on the right. You can use the right analog stick to punch. And it's actually pretty intuitive. If you want a left hook, for example, the right thumbstick to the left and then circle it forward, just kind of the same way you would if you were actually punching someone with a hook. The haymakers are, you can start the punch motion, but you pull back before you go ahead and push forward, and there's stun punches. The haymakers have been toned down a little bit. They're not as effective, because last year, pretty much the whole game, when we all fought each other, we just threw haymakers the whole time and hoped to hit. This time, you really do see the guy winding up, so it's actually really hard to land a haymaker if the other person you're playing has any idea how to block and play the game at all. There's stun punches, which if you nail him with a stun punch, it puts you in kind of a first-person mode where all you can do is block. That being said, overall, the game is a little bit more balanced. It's really good. I think it's a little bit slower than the Xbox Fight Night Round 2. I haven't played Round 3 on any of the other platforms, so I can't really compare them, but I dig it. You can create your characters just like last time. We made some Russian dude with a broken nose and a mohawk, and he's huge and crazy, and we played it for several hours. Nobody seemed very bored by it. Again, it's only two players because it would probably be really hard to do a four-player boxing game.
How would you have a four? You control the left fist, I'll control the right.
Yeah, either that or, you know, Frazier versus Ali, and then George Foreman comes in and just nails dude in the side of the head without him realizing it. I would give this puppy an 8.5 out of 10 probably, and I played it quite a bit. The online is pretty lag-free. I will say, however, that the achievements that you can unlock, they're pretty easy to do. There are no online achievements. It's all just progress through the single-player career mode. You got your online play, you got your ESPN Classic, which has all your old school, like I said, Ali versus Frazier and all those other dudes, because I'm not a huge boxing fan. I don't know any of the real big fights. The couple bad points I will say is I didn't notice any slowdown in the game, to be honest with you, but the high-def graphics were still not there yet. Occasionally, you do get a little bit of clipping when you punch somebody in your fist, usually during replays, because it's too fast to notice it otherwise. Your fist kind of goes through maybe their arm a little bit, or you'll see inside of someone's head once in a while, depending on the camera is.
Yeah, the one thing that stood out to me was hit the guy with a haymaker or something and his face turned and then he like spit blood. It looked more 2D, kind of like spaghetti, like you said.
Right, exactly. I was just going to say, more than spit, it looks like boxers apparently fight with a big wad of spaghetti in each cheek. So when they get knocked out, they go, and white and red strands of spaghetti shoot out of their mouths. So I wasn't aware of this. Must be an Italian boxer, I guess. The other thing is, the very first time I played and actually got knocked down, I was online. I don't know where they drudged Nosferatu out of to referee the fight, but dude popped out. If you've played the boxing game, you get knocked down and you're kind of looking up at a blurry ceiling. And then this vampire sticks his chrome dome in my way. And I kind of went, holy crap. And both of the guy, myself and the guy I was playing, both started laughing. I didn't even get up. It was actually really, really good. He's just like pale white face, pasty looking, and he's going, one, two, three. And he tries to bite you and you got to fight him off as a mini game. That's not true, but yeah, really good game. You should probably pick it up.
The other fight night was the one that we all made ourselves and just sat there beating the holy hell out of each other.
Yes, you make yourself and then you drink beer and you hang out and you beat each other down in fight night. I had some problems with the demo. The speed was a little bit slow. The punches weren't quite as beefy when you think they should. They fixed it. They did a really good job. The sounds are good. I mean, when you get jacked, you see their cheeks ripple. You see spaghetti fly out of their mouth. The vampire swoops down in to bite your neck. And all around, a good time is had.
Next topic.
All right, news time. Again, because I'm kind of cutting back a little bit this week and maybe next, it's more than just individual topics of news. It's random news flurry. Not a lot's going on, guys. It's a lot of rumors, a lot of non-news. Supposedly Street Fighter for the Xbox Live Arcade will be coming out today. Confirmed a bunch of different PC Windows Vista versions that will be running. So basically, we had talked about this a long time ago. The next Windows operating system, Windows Vista, was going to have all like 8 different versions ranging from the Ultimate Super Ultra to the one that they want to sell in China because they're too worried about piracy to actually sell anything important there. It's true. It's going to range in price and functionality. We kind of already talked about this. It has been confirmed. Rumors that Microsoft will have a handheld PC type device that you can play video games on. They had a video online showing Halo running on this little handheld clunky looking kludge thing. When asked, Microsoft didn't give the old, you know, we don't respond to rumors. They in fact said, yeah, not only is that true, but the video is about a year old. I guess the future will hold a Microsoft handheld gaming device. What's not known is this guy going to go head-to-head against, you know, the PSP and the DS? Or is this really more of a PC that's just like a PDA-style, you know, personal device assistant, whatever PDA stands for? Is it going to be a fully functioned PC, or is it going to be strictly for games? I don't think the information has come out. There is a kind of viral marketing site out there. I checked it out for about 5 minutes, and I got really bored by it because I'm not into the whole viral marketing and playing games to scurry forth information. OrigamiProject.com. Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting. I think if the past has shown us anything, it's don't go head-to-head with Nintendo in a handheld device market. Not a good idea. Hey, we'll see how it goes, and the details will come out. We'll let you know what they are.
And I think it's personal data assistant.
Thank you.
But I'm not sure.
Why don't I just do what I do so well?
Google it. In the meantime, the Call of Duty Xbox 360 multiplayer patch is supposedly soon coming out. Not too shabby, right? 4 months after the game's release, mere days away from Advanced Warfighter, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, and Battlefield 2 is going to come out at the end of March here, so just at the time that no one cares, we have a patch. I guess I'm being a little harsh, it's better late than never, but it would have been nice to have that, I don't know, before the system launched, before the game went out. But I'm a pessimist, you can never please me. We mentioned EA a little bit ago about their Battlefield. Well, $39 is apparently the new price point for current generation games. That's a good thing to hear. So you can go ahead and buy Fight Night Round 3 for your current generation system, the PS2 or the Xbox, and you can pay about $40 US, which is better than $50, I guess.
Yeah, when down 10, so that's good.
Yeah, it went down and the Xbox system itself, Xbox One, went up, so...
Just for the people that are right now screaming at their MP3 player, PDA stands for Personal Digital Assistant, you are correct.
Yes. Midway lost a ton of money, so this has kind of been the downward slope here. It's the trend. Atari is going, they're almost on the verge of disappearing here. Gizmondo is bankrupt. Majesto is not doing very well. There aren't really any good money-making video game developers/publishers, so week after month after year, Sony, Microsoft, none of these guys are making money. So for billions of dollars or whatever this industry is marked at and rumored to grow to X amount of dollars in the next year, I don't know where it's all going because people seem to be posting loss after loss on the stock market.
Besides Mortal Kombat, what else does Midway publish?
They got Blitz, they got Gauntlet, Keith's favorite game, Gauntlet Seven Sorrows. They have, of course, the Arcade Treasures, which is a rehash of all their old school, you know, Defender, Robotron, Rampage, all those games. There are some other ones, but they're actually, in a related story, they're getting a little bit more into the in-game advertising. Speaking of in-game advertising, that's one of the things I did forget to mention during the round three review. There is crap plastered everywhere. Fights are sponsored by Dodge. You get a little 30-second commercial, basically, where the announcers of the fight say, oh, look at the brand new Dodge whatever, and here's a picture of it, you know, rendered in 3D. The Burger King guy is in the game. Burger King has their big logo plastered on the ground. It's getting old. EA has been very, I mean, we make fun of EA a lot. In their defense, Fight Night Round 3 is actually a game that I didn't mind spending $60 for.
Yeah, but we saw this coming.
Oh, we saw it coming. It's, you know, and again, if Burger King, if you want to advertise right here in the podcast, we will discuss the tastiness of your chicken fries.
It's just a shame, though, that they themselves out that much.
Real boxing, I mean, dudes have Golden Palace tattooed on their back. I guess it's true to real life, but because it's true to real life, doesn't make it any more tolerable for me. I don't care about Burger King. I don't want to see all this stuff sponsoring everything else. Midway is also going in with the in-game advertising a little bit more, so I think it was something like they doubled their budget for the next year. I could be wrong on that, but all right. We have the Revolution development kits that supposedly have a label attached to their price. It's going to be $2,000 cheaper than the PlayStation Portable development kit. The dev kits for the Revolution are supposed to be around $150. I think in doing this, they're trying to really get all comers to come and try and develop games for the Revolution. If you're an indie startup company, who are you going to go after first? But if you're a little indie guy and you have all your savings in one bank account and you got to take your final stab at it, are you going to do what Scott Lance with Land of Legends that we're going to get to in a minute here did and just do it on your own for the PC and hope and pray and maybe we'll see what happens? Or are you going to spend half of your entire budget just to get a development kit, then begin coding on it? And lastly, in our flurry of news here, we have the news that April 1st weekend will be a free Xbox Live weekend. Now, since I've read this, they've supposedly taken down the specific date of the April 1st weekend, but the bottom line is they promised that, yes, we will have special events where silver members for Xbox Live, those are the dudes that don't actually get to play online, but you can use the service for downloads and stuff, they will be upgraded to gold for certain special promotional events. Well, this is one of them, a weekend of free gaming play.
Next topic.
Land of Legends review for the PC. Land of Legends is an independent game that's being published and distributed by Shrapnel Games. We will have links in the show notes. And what that game is, it's basically the best way I can describe it is Advanced Wars set in medieval fantasy land. You got your races like your elves, your orcs. They have afflicted who are like these leper dudes. You got mummies and lepers and like medusas and hideous freaks. You got gnomes and dwarves and all these other different races. Each race has four units. The units have different costs associated with them. You capture cities. The cities net you gold. Again, it is a 2D turn-based game, and it's a smaller map. I want to say the map's about 30 by 30. It's pretty much comparable to an Advance Wars size map, but because there's less units per side, I thought initially maybe that was a disadvantage, but in actuality, to make it very accessible for anybody, so even my wife could understand, all right, here are the four units, and here's what they do. Each unit does have a special ability, and these remind me a lot of like Magic the Gathering abilities. I mean, some abilities are you deal 2 extra damage if you haven't moved this turn. The ability is some guys heal each other. Some guys cast buff spells where they increase your damage and your movement. There's all these different statistics and attributes that these armies have. Excuse me, it's a 2-player game. You can play it online. You can also kind of sort of do play by email. The graphics, I will admit,
they're not that swift. Now, I don't mind the... Actually, I kind of like the pixel, like the little pixelated guys. I thought those were cool.
Right, what he's talking about is on the big overhead map, you have your little icons of all your little warriors, and they have two frames of animation, just again, like Advance Wars, and they're little, 32 by 32 pixel guys. They look fine. They do justice. When you go ahead and do the fight, they have like you'll have your unit on the left attacking and your unit on the right defending, and that's when... The graphics aren't horrible, but they do look like they were done on a budget. Let's just put it nicely. I mean, I got over it because here's the things that you're looking at. It's an indie game. It's not going to have the highest production values in the world. Secondly, it's a 2D turn-based game like in Advance Wars, but you're not going to bust it out and show your friends and go, wow, as a matter of fact, everyone I've showed it to, they go, ooh, dude, these graphics kind of suck.
And especially in this type of game, it's not a game where graphics are vital.
The other downside of this game is that it's $35, so it's kind of a sticking point. If you're a PC turn-based wargamer, it's not going to be as, you know, the hexagonal, like, let's move our tanks, and we have morale, and now it's winter, so I have to manage my food. It's none of that, dude. It's a game that can easily be played. I think most games take about a half an hour at most between two people to do. I really enjoyed it. I dug it quite a bit.
I really like those kind of games. Vandal Hearts is a game I played the holy out of. Both Final Fantasy Tactics and Tactics Advanced, I both played a lot of.
Yeah, and we actually have an interview upcoming with the developer of this game, who's very candid, very cool guy. He pretty much fit in with the clan here. Keith, if you had to give this game a score, what would you give this game?
I'd say an 8 or a 7.5.
I will echo that. I would say if the game was $20, I would bump that up to a 9.
Yeah, I think it should be bumped down 10 bucks and it would be perfect.
Again, get the demo, try it out. If you like it, buy it. If you don't, you haven't lost anything except for a 6 meg, 10 meg download.
Next topic.
All right, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Fact or crap time.
Now, this week, we have one fact and two craps, so we're going to jump right into it here. Number one, hookers call for a Grand Theft Auto ban due to its depiction, behavior, and interaction with sex workers. Number two, a guild of terrorists held one of the World of Warcraft servers hostage.
Nice. Was it Mediv where they had 15,000 people log in so nobody else could?
No, it wasn't. It was in dealing with this new world event thing that they wanted to get 5,000 gold or else they wouldn't gong the bell or whatever they needed to do. Lastly, number three, a Marine colonel was quoted as saying that children who grew up with Game Boys make worse soldiers in his experience because they, quote, have hero syndrome, they want to go off on their own and save the world, end quote. He has more problems with gamers in his squads due to their independence and hero syndrome.
May have fewer people in your squad. Give it time. We'll have fewer after that first conflict.
So you got one fact and two craps.
I'm going to say that the World of Warcraft holding ransom is true. Mainly because that sounds like the type of thing that would happen to that game. Because it's a good game and just stupid crap to piss everybody off always happens to it.
5,000 gold. Christ, that's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just the kind of thing that those rockets from World of Warcraft would be doing.
If you're a 60th level guild,
exactly,
and you hold the key to open the entire new land on the entire server.
But that's the kind of egotistical yutzes that annoy me in that game.
I think I'm going to agree with Keith.
All right, so here's the deal. The Guild of Terrorists on the WoW server, that's actually crap. It was a big scam on the forums, and actually until late last week, I had it as fact. What they were saying that they were doing is, just like I said, you need to get these certain items and ring this gong or something. The guild got all the pieces, but they didn't want to do the gong unless they got 5,000 gold. They wanted to be remembered, just exactly like Keith said. Due to their attention complex, I don't even have their name, nor if I had it, would I read it off. Kind of funny, but again, I could care less. I kind of stopped playing World of Warcraft. I think it's very selfish and stupid, but if you allow people to have that sort of power, that's what's going to be happening in your games.
Wait, so what's the truth to that one then?
The truth to that is it was a hoax.
Okay.
They actually weren't holding anything hostage. They posted a retort on the World of Warcraft forums.
Oh, okay.
So, the second one was, the fact here was that hookers called for a ban on Grand Theft Auto. How ironic is that? That prostitutes are tired of getting beaten down and having sex with in their game.
You know what? That's not what the problem is. The problem is that they're all up in arms about it. It's because they're pissed that you're allowed to take your money back from them after you pay them.
As for those who haven't played Grand Theft, you can pick up a prostitute, do your dirty business there, and she takes money from you. And then when she's done and gets out of the car, you get out of the car and you mug her and then kill her and take your money back. So,
and sometimes extra.
Yeah, but believe it or not, the Sex Workers Outreach Program has a website asking parents to join them to ban GTA. You know, sex workers.
Mom, dad, parents, join with the strippers of society, the hookers and the prostitutes.
Candy and Bambi need... they have feelings, too.
Let's help the children.
Man, what is the world coming to? Tom just posted a little message that says, MC Fragslot disapproves of beating hookers. Just got to get that one out there. And lastly, in the factor crap here, a Marine colonel quoted as saying that basically gamers make bad soldiers. He said the exact opposite. He said, actually, they probably feel less inhibited down in their primal levels about pointing their weapon at somebody. Yes, we are further fueling the media fire. That's a lot of F's in that sentence. It says that gamers are horrible people that like to kill everyone.
I can't argue that.
What about Counter-Strike players specifically? Counter-Strike players specifically have been known to think the knife actually makes you run faster. So you can see a lot of dudes on the battlefield when they charge, they put their gun in the way and they take their knife out. So they're all running across the battlefield with just the knives being held. Every time they get shot, they're like, you hack, cheat, noob.
Next topic.
So, MC Frags-a-Lot, with a special call-in appearance, is giving us his forum results for our forum on dreamstation.cc.
An FPS tragedy by MC Frags-a-Lot. Pwning noobs on a cold winter's night. The server administrator says my skills are tight, but no mortal can be as good as that. I think you are using hacks. Nay, I say, my headshots are legit. Now the server administrator went into a fit. It is a tough life, being elite. On the servers, I never know defeat, but the server administrator gave me a ban. Once again, I've been put down by the man. Well, I am MC Frags-a-Lot, and that is how I rock it. It is time for this week's poll topic.
Dominating!
Hey, everybody, it's that time once again for this week's poll topic with me, MC. Last week, Chris asked, which video game bigwig do we want as our rich uncle? Let's go to the DreamStation.cc forums and find out. It looks like your favorite uncle, with 38% of the vote, is Nintendo's Reggie Fils Aime. Coming in number 2, with 28% of the votes, is Sony's Ken Kugarami. This week's insightful comment comes from Wii. He writes,
I try to stay away from that Uncle Reggie. He always seems to be unveiling things from his pocket, so who knows what he's going to pull out next, especially if there are kids around. Uncle Peter Moore wouldn't be much better. Each birthday he'd talk about how amazing your gift is going to be, and all these great features it's going to have. And when your birthday comes around, he'll just hand you a piece of lint. Uncle Peter Moore would be the sleazy car salesman of the family. You'd fork out a big wad of cash on this supposed next-gen car, only to take it home and find out there's a lack of gas that will work with that particular car. Looks like it's Uncle Ken, then. Welcome to the family.
And Darkness Bear writes,
what the f*** kind of poll question is this?
Oh, that Darkness Bear. He says the craziest things.
Headshot!
As we wind down Season 1 of the Smash Hit Podcast, the DreamStation.cc video game show, I need to ask each and every one of you for a favor. Go out and tell at least one friend. Tell your brother. Tell your sister. Tell your mom or dad. Tell your girlfriend. Yeah, right, like you have a girlfriend. To check out the show through that fancy Apple iTunes, or visit us directly at DreamStation.cc/podcast. If you have a blog, we need you to help spread the word. Why, if everyone can just introduce at least one new person to the show, that would be like doubling our audience or something. Well, that's it for this week. Don't forget to drop me an email at tom@mcfragsalot.com. I'm MC Frags-a-Lot, logging off.
Actually, probably Peter Moore.
Okay, why?
I'd rather get free Xbox swag than free Microsoft swag than Nintendo, not
gotcha.
Xbox.
So you'd rather get free Microsoft stuff than free Nintendo stuff?
Yeah.
All right, so I guess I'll answer. Who I would pick would be, I think Redeem on our forums actually said the same thing that I was saying. Basically, yeah, Nintendo is kind of a guarded mystery to us. Microsoft, we've often praised as the most open and the best to their fans, I think. Sony is a little bit more reserved, but Nintendo doesn't even send games out to companies to review. Nintendo is kind of off in their own little world, not too media accessible. Nintendo is not out in your face, community kind of care about what American players think company. Phil, did you have an answer?
I'd probably have to say Peter Moore, just because I actually have an Xbox. And
okay, so he's going with the old Microsoft. So we got two Microsoft and two Nintendos. Interesting, interesting. Here's next week's forum question. The forum question is, if you have friends who you've met and only deal with exclusively online, so let's say you've met somebody in a Halo 2 match and you've added them to the friend list and you game with them just about every day, and you chat with them and stuff. Are those real friends? Yes or no?
Next topic.
All right, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for the mailbag.
Mailbag!
This one is from Lieutenant Carter. He did a review of Matrix Path of Neo. This is the Matrix game that they should have made from the get-go. It's 100 times better than Enter the Matrix. And this game you just play as Neo. You are the one, and you get to go through all three Matrix movies, reliving all the major action sequences from those movies. You go through and you brawl in different locations and training. Training level, you got to survive 5 minutes fighting as many guys as you can. The moves in this game is absolutely sick looking. The game allows you to fight multiple enemies at once. And I don't mean punch random people. I mean like three-person brawlers. You tap the B button towards three people in range and you get all three of them with the sick looking attacks. Is there a bus with a bomb in it? There's a bus with a bomb in it, and if it goes under 55, you blow up.
And you have to surf to the next outlet to call the next phone.
Wait, the FBI is going to pay me for surfing? That's my Keanu Reeves impression. Thank you. The only problem with it is that it could have used 2 more months in production because there are a lot of bugs and glitches. Hey, what else is new? All in all, the game is enjoyable. The worst part of the game is the graphics. Graphics are horrid. Graphics are muddy, pixelated, and low res. So he has a lot of good to say. They look cool. Animations and stuff, cool. But overall, graphics, practically, it's an enjoyable game. Has a lot of replay value because there are many unlockables. It's worth a try before you buy. It's only $30, but it's a great weekend rental to say the least. Gameplay, 7 out of 10. Sound, 7 out of 10. Fun factor, 8 out of 10. Graphics, 6 out of 10. Worst part of the game. And overall, 7.1 out of 10. So he gave it a C. Thank you for your review, sir. This one is from Mark. He sent me a link that the Gizmondo guy, he basically crashed his Ferrari. He had a $1 million Ferrari. He was totaled it. This was actually in the LA Times. Thank you, sir, for the link to the article. Yeah, basically, dude got money from his company, the Gizmondo. He bought a Ferrari, and then he proceeded to wreck it. He did have a blood alcohol level of 0.09% after the crash, which is over the legal limit, but that would not be an issue if he was a passenger in the car. There's some speculation. All right, so that was the mail.
Next topic.
All right, so I'm here interviewing PJ. PJ, would you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, who you are, where do you work, what do you do there, etc.
My name's PJ. I work at a small development company called Blue Street Studios. I am a level editor / junior programmer. There's a game about 3 years ago called Gods and Generals.
I've heard of it. I don't know much about it.
It is the worst game ever made. That was made by a company called Anavision. And after that game, Anavision went out of business.
I wonder why.
Most of the people from Anavision, 2 years later, got back together and said, hey, let's try this again. Thus is born Blue Street Studios.
Now, were you at Anavision?
No, I wasn't. That was before my time. So anybody listening, I had nothing to do with Gods and Generals. Now, we got this contract to make a video game based on Bible stories. It's a platformer game like Mario, except not quite as good. It's not a bad game. It's not as bad as Gods and Generals. But it is a kid's game, so we're shooting for kindergartners through third or fourth grade.
How many people are on the dev team?
10.
Now, what is your typical day like? You said you're a level editor and a junior programmer. What exactly does that entail?
Level editors are the people who are responsible for making games good or bad. When the player plays the game, the level is the part that they interact with. You have to make sure that interacting with the level is fun.
Now, I went to your website, and there wasn't a whole lot of information that I could get access to. Is it a 2D side-scrolling platformer? Or
it's a 3D third-person. It's like Mario 64.
So you're the guy responsible of making sure that the jump is far enough to be challenging, but not too far to get the little kid frustrated and slam his keyboard into the screen?
Which happens several times a day when we have kids come in and level test.
Do you guys actually then, you do have kids in that age group come in a couple times a week or whatever and try the game out and give feedback?
Yeah, they make us come in and watch them play the game. They're sitting in front of a laptop playing, and we're almost standing right behind them and asking them questions like, was picking up that rock and dropping it over there fun? Do you like it when you hit a spring and get shot 200 feet in the air?
Are they giving you actual good feedback, or is it more watching them is the feedback? Because I wouldn't think kindergartner.
You're right, it is more watching them, but you'd be surprised about how much these kids will tell you, this level sucks. And so we just have to take what they give us and try to improve it, like, what sucks about it? And then they'll tell you, this thing that we have to do is too hard. And then you have to go rethink it about how to make it easier, but not so easy that it's boring.
No, that's pretty wild to me. I didn't really think about stuff like that. I mean, I know you got beta testers, but I didn't think about if it's a game geared toward kids. Duh, get the kids involved and see what they have to say about
it. Yeah, and the kids love it. We give them candy. So the parents will come in and drop their kids off, go do shopping for an hour or so, and come back and pick them up.
What point in the process do these guys come in? Do they do it weekly on whatever you have? Obviously, you need the engine far enough along.
Yeah, the engine and everything was built before we started doing levels, and it's actually done before I started working there.
And when does the game expect to be done?
Well, it's sort of done. This is meant for churches to pass out to their kids during Sunday school. So it's more of a subscription service. Every quarter, we would release some new features, like a thing where you can jump and jump again off a wall or something. And that's what the programmers mostly do. The first time we ever released, one of the levels got sent out, and there was no terrain on the level. It was just houses, and then the player would just fall straight down forever. And so we release patches and stuff, which is kind of sad when you have a game as small as this that first time we release, you have to release a patch the next day.
Although I would think your customers would be a little more forgiving, you know, that they probably don't realize. They may think it's cool to fall for 10 minutes before the game crashes, right?
Yeah. Well, they don't go on the forums and say, oh my God, these guys are total noobs.
They're not bad-mouthing you on game rankings or anything like that. A lot of people send me emails and they want to know, hey, what do I got to do to get in game programming? Well, you are already in game programming. So what kind of classes did you have to take? Do you recommend the field? I hear all these horror stories, mostly in bigger places like the EAs of the world where they're slave-driving people and they're sleeping under the desks. I would assume that's not the case in an indie developer like you guys?
Only the last 3 weeks before we launch anything. Crunch time. Stay at work almost 20 hours a day. Sleep under the desk. If you have a wife, you get to go home because they get mad. It's not really that bad. We have normal 8-hour work days most of the time. For high school, I would take as many computer classes as you can.
I'm 29, and when I was in high school, they didn't even really have computer classes. We did it on a Mac, so it wasn't something I could get a head start on. I would assume nowadays, like you just said, you guys had computer classes in high school.
Take creative writing classes. Those help when you're designing levels, especially around a story, like we are with the Bible game, helps you visualize how stuff would work in a level and also give you maybe a random left field idea that you can put in the level and it actually looks good.
That's a good point. I didn't really think of that. You know, the documentation kind of side of things.
Math. Take as much math as you can, because definitely in the programming side, there's lots of trigonometry in there. So trigonometry and if you get into the lower level of the engine side, lots of number systems. People that come into, especially level editing into companies, are people that played the game, did mods for it, like the Counter-Strike.
You would recommend, hey, if you're interested in gaming, you want to get noticed, make some levels, make some mods for kids?
Make mods to whatever you can get your hands on. Battlefield 2, the Half-Life engine.
Okay, so I got a couple questions left to ask you. The first question is, PS3 or Xbox 360? If you had to pick one. Guess I should be fair and I should throw the Revolution in there also.
Revolution.
Oh, look at that. I added it in there and it was definitely the answer. All
right. I think Nintendo has it right. Well, from both standpoints, the creativity, nobody's really done the little move the controller around. But I think that would work really good, especially for first-person shooters. And also from a marketing standpoint, Xbox 360, Microsoft's selling it basically with $147 strapped to the side of it, because they're losing that. And Sony, we don't know, but presumably they will be too. But you never see Nintendo taking a loss on their systems.
All right, so you probably heard this whole Duck Hunt thing we were talking about.
Oh. Yeah.
So is your personal feeling that Duck Hunt counts as a first-person shooter, or does it not?
No. It does not immerse you in a 3D environment. I agree with MC Fraxlot. It doesn't immerse you in a 3D environment. You don't have control over where you're going. You just stand there and point the thing at the screen and click.
Okay, he's going to get a big head from this one. So has anyone done the old hot coffee and tried to slip in something that shouldn't have been in there?
Actually, they have.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
This is actually not somebody in our company. It's somebody that we'd contracted out to do all of our 2D artwork. He had worked with other companies. He worked with Blizzard. When we got all these pictures back in, the first one that we got, we thought we saw like a demon face in one of the clouds, and we were just like, no, we're just being way too paranoid. And then another picture we got, we thought we saw like a silhouette of a naked woman, and then we got this picture of a guy standing next to a woman. Frame. He's supposed to be with his hand around the woman's shoulders. But when we got it, it was his hand was basically on her butt.
And the last question that I have here, this is kind of a forum thing. Do you prefer cake or pie?
I would say my wife made me a cake for Valentine's Day, so I'm going to say cake.
Oh, look at that. Just trying to get brownie points. I didn't give you that crap. Well, hey, man, thank you very much for taking the time here to do the interview.
Oh, it was fun.
I'll throw a Blue Street Studio in the old show notes for the next show. Thank you very much for your time, dude.
Oh, it's no problem. I had fun.
Next topic.
So, what you have been listening to was a slightly Skeleton Crew, slightly abbreviated version of the DreamStation.cc video game show. And so it doesn't become numb to you, I will go over, yes, we have a website, dreamstation.cc. We do put up news many times daily. We have reviews of video games. We have interviews with folks in the gaming industry. We have a forums on which you can post many crazy things, and you can download all of our old shows from there. All right, so again, this was the show. Thanks for tuning in, and if you want to tune back next week, we'll be waiting for you. We'll leave the light on for you.
No, we won't. And I'll even put things to trip you as you walk up to the driveway.